Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Kevin.
Hi, my name is Kevin. I'm a compulsive over here.
Hi, Kevin.
Thank you, Sarah, for asking me. She asked me, and I said, let me get back to you. And it's because I was nervous. And, you know, I know this is a really important meeting. It's like the playoffs of speaking. And more importantly, this meeting has really saved my ass, because I travel a lot for work, and I've ended up in some, you know, really random places, and, you know, English is not spoken, and you know, I'm in a time zone where everyone here is in bed, and I can't make calls, and this meeting, the podcast, has really been like a lifeline to me. So I speak here with a certain amount of feeling a lot of responsibility, and in my life today I have a lot of responsibility. And I was like, I don't want one more responsibility on this weekend. I have a full life now. I have a lot of plans. And, you know, I had to think to myself, the only reason that I have such a full life now is because of the program. And I want to welcome anyone who's new, anyone who's coming back. You know, we have a solution here. And I believe, you know, I've relapsed and have been coming to program for a while now, and I have a significant weight loss, and it's been through, this is my experience, just through the steps that I've been able to abstain from overeating. I've been, you know, I've compulsively overate since I've been a kid, and, you know, I remember one of my first memories was getting up before my parents and, you know, having cereal and putting an excessive amount of sugar on the cereal. And I knew I wasn't allowed to do that. And I would sneak it. And, you know, so the behaviors of overeating for me started at a very, very young age. And, you know, throughout the years, you know, I would use food, you know, basically to deal with life, to deal with, you know, rejection, to deal with stress, to deal with not fitting in, to deal with, you know, anything, you know, even to deal with the good things. And, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, I can eat over any occasion, good, bad, or mediocre, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I've compulsively eaten forever. And, you know, it got to a point in my life where, you know, it just stopped working for me. And, you know, I think I could sit up here and really go into detail and tell you my story, but I don't think it really matters. It matters to me, obviously, but I think what I need to talk about is the solution and how I'm, you know, what I'm doing today and how I'm implementing this program into my life to continue my abstinence. And I think that's important, and it's just been purely through the steps, because I would come to OA for years and sit in the back of the room and really think that I would get this by osmosis. And I would just relapse, and it would get worse and worse every time. And, you know, by nature, there's some shame with me with overeating, and, you know, I really struggled coming in here, because I don't, definitely not a glamorous program. I can't see TMZ sitting outside this meeting. It wasn't glamorous. There's a lot of shame. So I played the distance for a long time, and I've been coming to OA since probably 2000, and, you know, it wasn't until I had enough, you know, really enough pain, because that's really how I change. It's like, you know, I don't change by someone making a suggestion. You know, I don't really change by someone telling me what to do. I mean, I actually usually go the other way when someone tells me what to do. The only way I change is through pain. And, you know, so really, for me, diving into the steps is really where I saw, you know, a change in my life, and that's how I got abstinent, and that's how I got relief, and that's how I've been able to, you know, have serenity in my life and keep a significant amount of weight off and take away a lot of the characteristics that go along with overeating. So, you know, step one for me is, you know, I'm powerless over food. And it talks about it in the big book, The Phenomenon of Craving. And all the pre-thoughts that go into my head around compulsive overeating. And, you know, some of those thoughts are, you know, I have a little bit of time now. I think I can get this. You know, I saw a new infomercial on TV tonight. That might work. You know, there's a new medication. There's this, there's that. It wasn't that bad. I have this under control now. My willpower is a lot more stronger. And what happens is I go out and I cave into those thoughts that are coming from my own head. And I compulsively overeat. And what then is basically an allergy sets off. And with this allergy, I start eating foods that I can't stop eating. And, you know, it's something that my life then becomes out of control, and I start isolating, I start being very unspiritual, I start, you know, I basically, you know, I turn into Oscar the Grouch, and I'm a giant garbage can, and it's like I'm putting stuff in me, and, you know, how I'm reacting after that is not good. And, you know, my history is, you know, everything for me is really black and white. It's like you're either in or you're out. And that's it's been like my whole life, you know, it's been like that. And, you know, a big problem for me is that, you know, I'll eat just one wrong thing and I can go right off the rails. And it's like, you know, I'll come back Monday. And, you know, this weekend will be the weekend and, you know, I deserve this. And, you know, that just is really dangerous thinking for me. And, you know, I've literally, like you mentioned before, like, I have literally tried everything to stop overeating. You know, Madame Cleo infomercial, you know, like, you know, doctors, medication, you know, I've tried it all, and it has never worked. I've had short-term, you know, crazy fad diets. I've had short-term success, only for come back for a farther, you know, more deeper, darker relapse. And my experience, and this is just mine, is that the only thing that has worked for me for continued abstinence has been this program. And, you know, that doesn't stop for me from thinking that there's not something else out there, but, you know, I'm a big believer in statistics and what works, and for me this is what has worked so far. So that brings me to step two, and what it's been has been the power that greater, you know, larger than myself has, you know, been able to restore me to sanity. And, you know, that power keeps on changing. And, you know, some days, you know, it's the group. Some days, you know, it's a God. Some days it's the universe, and some days it's whatever. But it constantly changes, and I get to a point where, you know, self-will and all my selfish behaviors, you know, basically they stop working, and I need to find a power, you know, outside of myself to restore me to sanity. I need to stop having those thoughts I was talking about, you know, that I got this, I can handle this, you know, that there's an easier, softer way. And what I need to do is I need to basically come outside myself. And it's hard because, you know, I'm an introvert, you know, by nature, even though it doesn't seem like it sometimes I am. And, you know, I really like to think that I'm in control of my own destiny. And the fact that having to sometimes go and call someone, you know, and tell them, like, you know, wow, you know, that box of whatever is calling my name right now, it just seems utterly ridiculous to me. And, you know, but I have to take that action, and if I don't, you know, I can, you know, I'm very susceptible to a relapse. And it's tough for me, you know, to reach out and ask for help, because I'm a fighter. and you know, I've gotten through a lot of adversity in life. What I sometimes think is on my own willpower and being persistent and going after really wanting what I want in life. And that's how I was raised that way, is that, you know, if you really want something, you go get it. You know, there's no excuses. You go, whatever you want, you get. And, you know, it's like, you go get that. So, we come to OA, and, you know, we come into this mindset of completely surrendering and asking for help. And, you know, that was really tough for me. And, you know, but it was basically the only way that what I could do. So, you know, I have to rely on something greater than myself to restore me to sanity and to, you know, to live a sane life that's serene. You know, that's when I got here. That's one of the gifts that I really wanted. Like, I just wanted my head to shut up. You know, if you know, almost like the weight loss and the great life that I have today, that's almost like, that's all secondary. Like, I wanted my head to, like, stop. And because my head is just like, it will sell me out so quickly. And it tells me stuff that's just not true. So, you know, I really need to come here and to, you know, to get help from you guys so that I can live, you know, a sane life. Step three, it's, you know, it's turning my will and my life over. And the simplest way that I can describe that is, you know, I'm a bus and I need a new bus driver. And, you know, I'm constantly getting DUIs. I'm constantly going off the road. I'm constantly running out of gas. It's like, you know, and I need a new bus driver, and I need a higher power to drive that bus. And, you know, I have to become a passenger. And, you know, some days, you know, I go to the back of the bus, I kick my feet up, put my hands behind my head, and I'm like, go. You know, and some days I'm the worst backseat driver you can ever imagine. And it's like, turn left, turn right. You know, watch out for that. And, you know, it's not easy. Again, I'm a fighter, and it's like, I really think I know what I want. I go out and I get it. And, you know, it's tough. You know, I was with someone yesterday, and they were saying to me, you know, it's like there's that old thing of praying to the closet for a cheese sandwich, which is a bad analogy in this program, but it's faith without works is dead. And, you know, and another analogy someone gave me is like, you know, for success in life, you need to set the table for God to show up. You got to do the work, basically. And, you know, I need to go out, I need to do the work. There's a certain amount of work I need to do and then turn things over to God. You know, God's not going to show up on my door and deliver everything for me, you know, that I want. He might get what I need, but not everything that I want. And, you know, I need to go out there and I need a certain amount of work that I need to do. And, you know, I struggle with that sometimes. What is, you know, what's my will? What's my higher power's will or whatnot? You know, step four is, for me, you know, there's a good reason, you know, I talked about before, is that I would eat over any occasion, you know, but there's a lot of, you know, there was, there's not as much now, shame in my life. And, you know, in order for me to be serene and to abstain from overeating, I had to look at some of these things in my life that were really causing me to eat, and a lot of shame. And, you know, so I had to, in my step four, and, you know, it's really interesting, is that a lot of people have, like, a lot of fear around step four, and it's like, I never did, because, like, you know, I was so down on myself when I first came in, and I was like, man, I know everything that's wrong. And it's like, look at all these things that are wrong with me. And so step four was actually pretty easy for me. Like, I really put down, you know, here's my resentments, here's who I'm resentful at, and I got why you did it. Like, I really did. And, like, I put down my fear inventory, and, you know, here's everything I'm fearful of, and it was a long list. And I did, you know, the other inventories that were with it. And, you know, the stuff that I did that was wrong. And I was like, you know, I got that. And it was a process that, you know, obviously I got it on paper. I, you know, it was a short novel, and I basically combined it, and I had it. And, you know, I then took it to someone else in a step five. And, that was a little like, you know, it was a little intimidating, and you know, I had to have a lot of faith there. And you know, I took it to a person, and you know, they were very, 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 you know, empathetic toward me, my step five. And I really think, you know, when you hear someone step five, it's an honor. It really, truly is. And you know, the person who heard my step five made me feel completely comfortable. And you know, step five, you know, in order to do a really good step five, you know, as a sponsor or someone who just, you know, who hears step five, it's, yes, it's important to sit there and to not judge, and you know, and also to relate and share your experience so that they feel comfortable. Like, I think that's important. But to me, the biggest thing is to go through step five and bring light on the things that you really missed. And to me, that was super important. You know, look at the patterns. You know, look at the patterns. Why you did this, why you did that. What are, you know, you're consistently doing this thing here. You're not seeing this thing here. And to me, that's really what step five is. So I can really come out of the dark. Because there's defects that I didn't think that I even had, that I had. And, you know, to look at those, and to really bring those to light, you know, and after I finished my step five, you know, I really, the first time I did my step five, I did a really thorough job. You know, I went to this guy's house for a month, and once a week I would meet with him, and he just tore it apart, and we looked at it, and you know, we really, like, we saw, like, the true, kind of like the crux, what a lot of my problems were. And, you know, I felt a huge amount of relief after. And, you know, a lot of relief because, again, he was in a position where he would tell me, you know, listen, that's not that bad what you did. You know, and he was sure what he did. And it was just as bad or worse. And so I felt very human after. You know, because, you know, before I felt like an alien. You know, I thought I was terminally unique. The stuff that I had done was, you know, no one else had done. And you know, I felt very relatable after, and it really I then became more of the fellowship, and I, you know, that there's other people who are on the same journey as myself. For me, the real the hardest step of this program is step six, because I'm now aware of my defects, and you know, I know what they are. And for me, my defense, you know, I'm a very fearful individual. Like, my life is based on fear. And really what defects are ways for me to, you know, they're coping mechanisms for me to deal with life. And, you know, to think about those being removed from my life, it's like, you know, I just, no way. And maybe a couple of them, but like not all of them. And, you know, and again, I knew what the majority of them were going in. And I'd known what they were for years. Even before, like, I came to the program, I had the awareness. You know, a lot of them, I knew what they were. And, you know, the thought that I would have to have these defects removed, you know, that was just, you know, that's really what, like, how fun is life going to be? Like, really, how fun is it going to be with these defects removed? Like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, how am I going to cope? Like, you know, life's, you know, I'm sensitive. Like, life's tough. Like, what am I going to use now? And, you know, it's like this. It's like, you know, I have 10 defects, and they're just garbage cans. And there's, like, garbage coming out of each can. And those are my defects. And, you know, some days, you know, I have a bit of time now, and, you know, a lot of those defects of those 10 garbage cans have gone away. And, you know, I have defects that will go away for a year. You know, they're gone. And as a result of working the 12 steps. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they'll pop out of nowhere, and it'll be glaring, and it's like it's, you know, it's like it had never left me, and you know it's almost like, and I have to juggle these defects. I got to work on this now. I got to work on that. You know, it's like having 10 garbage cans, and you only have like 8 lids. And you're constantly moving the lids around, and you're putting on this, and all that. And you're working on this. And you're working on that, and you know it's strange how some of them come and they go. And a really good trick that my sponsor had me do was, you know, is after looking at step 4, we wrote my defects down. We put them on cards. And we looked, you know, I pulled the, you know, and on the other side, I would put contrary action to what that defect was. And, you know, I would, you know, I'd pull each card in morning meditation, and I would be, you know, I would be aware of the defect that day, and I'd really try to stay vigilant as to what that defect was and when it would come up, and what I would do proactively, the contrary action to that defect. So, you know, easy enough to say, you know, take my defects away. But, you know, step 7, actually asking them, like, you know, convincingly, thoroughly ask and being, like, completely honest with my higher power to have them removed. You know, that was really tough because I can sit here and say I really wanted them all removed, but I didn't. You know, there's still some defects that I hang on to. And, you know, and they don't serve me. And they really make my life, you know, they really rob me from having the full spectrum of life. And, you know, I still hold on to them. And it's really dependent on what my spiritual condition is like. You know, where I am, you know, what my level of spiritual, my spiritual thermometer, what it's like. And, you know, it's tough. It's really, really tough. And it's, you know, it's something that I continually go around and I look at and I ask for them to be removed. And I really, you know, I'll get to a point, again, where I talked about before, is that one defect will cause me enough pain. And, you know, then I'll be like, all right, higher power, take this defect from me. I've had it. And then 2 years later, I'm like, I'm still, you know, it's removed from me, and then I bring it back. And so that's something that I struggle with. In step 8, you know, I'm going back to my step 4, and I'm looking at what, you know, who I need to make amends to. And, you know, again, I knew who these people were before I even came into program. I knew who they were, and, you know, I knew who they were. And, you know, I know that what I had done was wrong. And, you know, I make the list. And, you know, again, with my sponsor, you know, maybe there was new light brought to some situations. And maybe there are some people I didn't need to make amends to. And, you know, there's some people that I need to make living amends to. And, you know, and there's some people's lives I just need to stay out of. And, you know, so, you know, in step 9, I sit with my sponsor, and we talk about the amend process. And, you know, to me, what was described as a real amend is, you know, contacting someone, you know, if your sponsor, you know, after, you know, being through with your sponsor, and if it was appropriate, is trying to speak to someone in person. And, you know, contacting them, telling them that, you know, I'm in a 12-step program now. I wanted to basically, you know, bring light to a situation that, you know, that's basically, you know, that I think is wrong, or I know is wrong. Admitting to what I did, very, you know, with no reservations whatsoever, no excuses, admitting to what I have done is wrong. And then more importantly, telling the person, you know, I don't do this behavior anymore. I think that's really important. Just telling, I don't do this behavior anymore. And then asking the person, what can I do to make this right? And then shutting my mouth and listening. And you know, I have to tell you, you know, knock on wood, you know, every one of my amends has gone amazingly. And I know people who, you know, I've heard stories, people who got to jail in their amends, and I've heard people who have, like, you know, events didn't end well, and people who, you know, but every one of my amends personally has been amazing, to the point where I've, like, relationships have started out of amends with other people, and, you know, and the hatchet's been buried, and, you know, it's truly, you know, it's one of the biggest gifts in my life, has been making amends to people. It really has. And again, it's getting back to that feeling, like that very humanistic feeling after. You know, you're one with people. There's nothing to hide anymore. And the freedom that comes along with that. You know, we talk about it in the promises, and the promises coming true. And, you know, and there's life amends. And again, I think the biggest part that I spoke about was, you know, really convincingly telling this person that I don't do that behavior anymore. And, you know, because I had people who said to me, you know, they were like, you know, the biggest amend you can make to me is stop doing that. Don't do that to anyone else. You know, don't do that to someone else. And, you know, that's crucial, is to be able to come in here and to stop the cycle. And, you know, if I can stop the behaviors that are causing so much wreckage in other people's lives and my life, you know, that to me, that's key. That's a real gift that we get from this program. You know, I'm very grateful. You know, even though I sometimes can't believe the amends I have to make, you know, I'm really grateful that I've had that opportunity in life, you know, because I know there's a lot of people who go around and have a lot of regret. And, you know, they would like to write situations, but they just can't. They don't have a program. They don't have a roadmap to life like we do. And, you know, so I'm very grateful for that. And then, you know, there's amends that I make that are, you know, that are living amends. And, you know, it's just not, like I said before, not repeating any of these behaviors. And, man, it's really, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a really, 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 the core of me is, you know, I'm a really selfish person. I suffer from self-centeredness. And, you know, I do love people. And, you know, and the feeling that I get from, you know, when I can really get out of myself is that if I can really get over this and how I feel, I can really help people. Step 10 is for me is continuing to take personal inventory. And what that is for me is, you know, I know there's a lot of people who live in step 11, 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, and I do try to do that. And what it is for me is, you know, it's catching stuff on a daily basis. What I really like to think of it as, if I can really stay diligent in step 10, I can stop problems before they actually happen. That's the key for me. You know, if I can actually stop things from happening before they happen, that's to me, like, I've really come a long way in life. And, you know, when something arises, like, you know, it's diligently making the amends for that. And, you know, and there's stuff that, I'm not perfect, and there's stuff that comes up, and I'm like, man, I know what I did was this wrong. I'm not going to make amends for it, and I'm going to wait till I have my yearly step group, and I'll deal with it then. and that just basically, you know, that's just one more, like, chip against my serenity. That's what it is, my daily serenity. That's all it is. And I just sell myself short. Step 11 is, you know, it's, for me, you know, I love the reading in the AA 12 and 12, the St. Francis Assisi prayer. That's, you know, I never knew about that prayer before coming into program. And, you know, it's basically like some of the, you know, what it says is like, you know, where there's darkness, let me bring light. You know, let me bring love to people. And, you know, what I know for myself is that, it's really, you know, in order for me to go to the next step, to step 12, for step 11, I have to really be on spiritual ground to be a service properly at step 12 to people. So for me, what spirituality means is obviously prayer and meditation are huge, and I struggle with meditation sometimes. And, you know, it's not easy, and some days I wake up and I just hit the ground and running, and I don't pray. And, you know, but when I do, you know, and when I'm doing, you know, a big part of my program is exercising. And, you know, it helps me with stress, and it helps me with, you know, with feeling good. And if I'm exercising, I'm abstinent, I'm praying, I'm meditating, you know, I'm on a good spiritual plane, and I can then really go into step 12 and be of service to people. You know, otherwise, you know, if my food is messy, my head gets messy. I'm foggy, and you know, I'm not going to be of service to people. I'm not. You know, my message is going to be less clear. You know, I'm telling you, like right now, getting up in here and sharing. You know, it really kept me on my toes for the last 2 weeks. I knew that, like, my food for the last 2 weeks, it had to be. I couldn't get up here with cutting any corners because I knew I wouldn't feel good about myself. And you know, this is that it brings me into step 12 and being of service. And you know, this is step 12 is for me. It's after having the spiritual awakening. It's after going through the previous 11 steps and feeling that, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say the clouds opening up, it's a little corny, but it's basically like having relief, and it's that humanistic kind of feeling again, being one with others, and no greater than, no less than. And that's, to me, is having a spiritual awakening, and you know, having relief from my disease. That's a spiritual awakening. Being honest, that's a spiritual awakening. And the feeling that comes with that after those actions, like that, to me, that's a spiritual awakening. And once I have that, you know, then I can learn to be of service. And you know, for me, I struggle with step 12. I live, I have a really busy full life. And I feel like a lot of times I'm making excuses by saying this, but you know, I'm up in a plane for probably 200 plus days a year, and in different cities for work, and I work in a real kind of crazy job, and it's hard for me to, you know, I'm different time zones, different countries, and when I'm back here, it's really crazy and busy, and it's hard for me to really be of service, because I can't be consistent. And but I really try to, you know, I give out my number where I can, I'll take calls, you know, where I can. I really try to help someone, other people who are in who are struggling, and you know, anyone, you know, in program, because what that really is for me is it's an insurance policy. It's really, and it's selfish, but it's true. It's an insurance policy. It's basically, by me helping you, I'm then getting out of my own way and my own head that comes up with these very grandiose ideas that can take me out. And if I can, you know, be of service to you, then, you know, I have a better chance today of not overeating and getting in my own way. So, you know, if you're new here tonight, I hope I really didn't, you know, might be overwhelming hearing about the steps and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to work them right away. Like, I think just coming here is the first step, and being here and you know, that it's not easy. And you know, there's a few suggestions, you know, that people talk about here, and it's, you know, try X amount of meetings and get some numbers, make some calls, you know. Put your hand out, and because there's people here who truly want to help. And you know, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, the steps, I'm a big advocate of the steps, but you know, when you're ready, or you know, you've basically had enough pain, then take them, you know, and be thorough. So again, I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful that I was asked tonight. Thank you. So the question is throughout my travels, from being busy, from going place to place, like how do I work that into my life, and how do I cope on a daily basis?
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, most airline food is on my abstinence list, and it's not very good to begin with. So I pack my food and I go places. And, you know, I go through different cycles, to be honest with you. And you know, I travel, and, you know, a big thing that my sponsor first told me was when you travel, find out where the meetings are in advance and put them in your calendar. Because, you know, I'll get somewhere and I'll be working in meetings for 10, 12 hours a day or whatever, and I get to my hotel room and I'm like, man, all I want to do is isolate. You know, and I'm really good at isolating, and it's, you know, and so, yeah, I do that, and I make a commitment, and, you know, I'll put a meeting in my calendar, and, you know, and then I treat it like a business meeting, like I show up, and, you know, I have to tell you that, you know, they don't have, there's not OA in that many countries, most Western countries that they're in. But the meeting after the meeting in some of these places, you know, the one-on-ones outside after, man, that's really where you learn. Like, you know, are in those relationships that you make with people and talking about and learning about the country, learning about how OA works in their community, learning what their program is like, and, you know, how what they do. And the cultural differences, and, you know, I'm really grateful for that. You know, I'm really grateful that I've been able to take that life. But just to get back and how I cope, it's really based on my, you know, my daily reprieve. You know, when I'm on spiritual grounds, when I'm really practicing my program. You know, life is, you know, as much as I don't want to wake up and meditate, or I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, you know, life is so much easier and smoother when I do. Thank you.
All right.